What's good, everybody, man? This is your guy, Manny, and this is the Back Row Redskins Show. On today's show, I got two of my very good friends coming on the show to talk some Washington football. This is the Chargers versus Washington pregame show. So without further ado, let me introduce my first guest. This is the human encyclopedia, Phil, from the Washington Football Addict podcast. You guys make sure you guys subscribe to that podcast. Great guy, great pod. Next coming to the stage is Corey the Sanchez, my mentor, on the warpath. This guy has shown me everything he knows. As you guys can see, I can't get my green screen to work quite as his, but I'll get there slowly but surely. You know, my mentor says he's gonna do Washington football field background. I go and copy the same. So, you know, in business, it's called modeling. So I'm modeling after the best, one of the top guys on YouTube. Welcome to the show, fellas. How you guys doing?
Doing good. Up late on a Wednesday, ready for the season to start tomorrow. I'm ready.
Yeah, awesome, can taste man. It.
Hey, so we're going to talk some football. But before I get into some football, you guys have to bear with me. I'm doing an auction draft right now. I don't know why this draft is still going on since 6 o'clock today. It's been going on for 3 hours. Yeah, it's pretty crazy right now. But let's dive into some news and notes. So, Benjamin St. Juice, today is his birthday. Happy birthday, Benjamin St. Juice, the third-round pick that we drafted. Another gem, I believe, that he will be. He just turned 24 years old today. Curtis Samuel walked off the field today after running a route. He hobbled off the field, went straight to the trainers. So that's not good. His availability for that Chargers game is questionable right now. I probably think that he's not going to play, but we're going to get into Curtis Samuel. Next on the list, Jimmy Moreland has been claimed by the Houston Texans. Immediately after they claimed him, they traded Roby to the Saints. So it seems like the tank is in full session right now. Moving on to the next news, Washington football have selected as captains. You got Fitzpatrick, Chase Young, Jonathan Allen, Terry McLaurin, Sheriff, Logan Thomas, John Bostic, oh Lord have mercy, and DeShazer Everett. Moving on, we have Clinton Portis. He faces prison time after pleading guilty for the NFL players' health care fraud case. So, wish him the best. People's try to do the right thing because you can end up in jail.
The sheriff going to get you.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
Moving on, this bit of a news right here. John Toth. Is it Tooth or Toth? However you say his name.
Toth,
this guy, I think. Yeah, he keeps getting cut, man. Back and forth. He gets cut. They bring him back. He gets cut. They bring him back. It's pretty crazy. He got released once again, and the team is bringing a offensive lineman, Evan, I cannot pronounce his last name. You guys can check that out. I'll call him Evan K. He also played at Buffalo with Jarrett Patterson. So I like to see the team continue to add offensive linemen. Last but not least, next on the list, you have the Washington football team has protected 4 players for this game. And the players are Jordan, another Jordan K. I can't pronounce his last name. Jared Norris, Wes Martin, and Daniel Wise. So those are the news and notes. Let's go ahead and dive into the show. So, guys, football will be here this weekend. Really starts tomorrow. We're going to enjoy the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as they beat down the Dallas Cowboys. Any thoughts on that game, fellas?
You will find a way for me to root for Tom Brady? Haven't played the Cowboys.
I said the same thing, Phil. I was like, but, you know, something about this just stinks on this game. I don't know if Dallas is going to make it competitive for a little bit, and it's going to make you wonder what's going on here. But I think at the end of the day, Tampa is going to pull this one out. I think it may be closer than what people are thinking, but I think it's going to be a Tampa Bay victory.
Nice.
Tampa Bay by 10. That's what I'm calling. Tampa by 10.
Tampa by 10. Yeah. I definitely see that. Dak Prescott, I don't think he's, you know, going to be ready. He's going to be kind of hobbling. And then I think one of their left tackles or right tackles is not going to be able to play. So, hey, after week 1, we could be looking at the Washington football team as the number one team in the NFC East. So I am looking forward to that.
We already are.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, man, I wanted to get you guys' thoughts on the 53-man roster. Look, it was some surprises. Dax made it.
That would be the surprise. The surprise was that after we cut Kelvin Harmon, which I was kind of mad about, after we cut Kelvin Harmon, I was like, great. AGG is going to make this roster again. Right. He's going to give you one catch for 3 yards again.
Right.
And then he got cut, dropped to the practice squad, and we keep Dax Milne on the roster. And I thought, whoa. I knew the kid was on the bubble.
Right.
But I just didn't think he – I just thought that he would be the practice squad guy,
right,
not AGG. But I like that they went with the guy who performed better in the preseason, the guy who performed better in camp, as opposed to the guy who has all the measurables but none of the production. Mm-hmm. So I like that. Mm-hmm. The only other surprise is that they're putting out a base 4-3 defense with Bostic out there. Mm-hmm. I honestly thought that the roster would be a base 4-2-5, and I think it really will be in the end. Mm-hmm. And you're going to see, you know, Cam Curl and Landon Collins on the field as, you know, one of them playing like a Buffalo nickel, the other one playing a pure strong safety.
Right.
I think you're going to see more of that than anything as a base set.
Okay. I like that. And, that Buffalo nickel is going to be very vital. I'm really intrigued to see what that actually looks like, you know, on the field. I figured that there was going to be a way to get Landon Collins and Cameron Curl out there on the field together. I know the last time that Corey was on the show, he was pretty much pissed off at Landon Collins. Corey, has your take on Landon Collins changed or still the same?
I think it's been impressed, but I don't think it's changed. The dude's a walking linebacker. I said that on here last time. And when you put him in this Buffalo nickel, he's pretty much going to be your third linebacker. Mm-hmm. You look at the linebacking where they kept four originally, and then you add David Mayo on there. This is the pure definition of position flex that Ron's been talking about forever, it seems like now, but he was talking about it in the fall. In the spring. Mm-hmm. I mean, you bring Landon Collins down. You keep Shaka Toney on the roster. Bring him up on some plays as a linebacker. So, like I said, at the end of the day, have I been impressed by Landon Collins? Yes. Has my opinions changed of him? No. Because at the end of the day, the dude's a box safety. And that's what he's going to be. That's what he's going to live as. That's what he's going to get paid as. That's what he's going to die as.
Hey, I respect it, man. Hassan Moore, welcome to the show. Appreciate you joining the stream. Yeah, man, I think that Landon Collins has a big season this year. Then it gives us an opportunity to figure out, hey, are we going to trade this guy? Are we going to bring him back? Because if he plays really, really well, I'm not saying he's going to be a Pro Bowler or an All-Pro level player this year, but if he does ball out, we have a decision to make. Obviously, we want to re-sign a lot of our players. You know, you're talking Sheriff, you're talking Terry, you're talking Payne. So we got guys to pay. And Landon Collins, even if he balls out, is still expendable, being that we're so deep at that safety position. Phil, what is your take on this safety position?
I think what I like about the safety position is that we have so much flexibility at the safety position in terms of you have Cam that can play free or strong. You have DeShazer Everett who can play free or strong. Derek Forrest, I like him as a free. I think he roams really well, but apparently he can play strong safety as well. So I think you're going to see a lot of guys being flipped into positions in very situation-specific types of sets.
Right.
But in the end, I think it's going to be the Cam and Landon show, which, you know, at that dual strong safety. Or you might even see if they go to a four defensive back set, you know, you might see Cam at free instead of Bobby McCain. Bobby McCain right now is apparently slotted to be the starter. right. Which I was kind of surprised just because of how much competition there was. But then again, you know, all my Dolphins friends, Dolphins fan friends were sad to see McCain go. So he must have been impressive to somebody.
Right. So my whole thing with McCain is he's better than any free safety that we've had in the past. I don't know how many years. It was a need. It's one of those things where even bringing in a Fitzpatrick, which Corey is not really a fan of. A lot of us aren't fans of Fitzpatrick, but he is better than what we've had. So it's not necessarily like, oh, this player is just so amazing or this player is so good. The real thing is this player is so much better than what we've had. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of how I look at it. And no, we'll see what happens when the season starts. I got a question for you guys. This one, this is not on the show notes. If there is a player to have a good season this year, who would that player be? And I'm going to start with Phil.
I think a lot of players are going to have a good season. Are you looking for like that we're not expecting?
Yes. Like a surprise player that's going to come in, ball out, and take their game to a whole new level. Like we're going to be looking at that player like, oh my gosh, wow. You know what I'm saying? So who is that player?
I'm going to say that I'm going to throw out a curveball at you, John Bates. I think that dude is such a sleeper pick. You know, he's a guy who does what you want him to do, but he can do anything from tight end.
Right.
You know, Logan Thomas is a pure receiver, and he's gotten a lot better as a blocker. I watched that progress as the season went on last year. But Bates is a natural tight end. He can block. That's what they asked him to do. He didn't catch a lot of balls out there at Boise State, not because he can't, but that's because that's what the system was out there.
Right.
And I think that, you know, if Bates can get, you know, get into some two tight end sets, oh, my God, can we get some two tight end sets, please? You know, you'll see him go out there and catch 30, 40 balls in key third down situations and be that safety valve, that second safety valve, along with Logan. And, you know, look, ask that guy Gesicki down in Miami how much he loved Ryan Fitzpatrick because as much as Fitz likes to bomb down the field, he knows how to hit that guy underneath. So I think Bates can do it.
Awesome. Like, okay, Corey, I have a question for you. With Fitzpatrick, like we know his history with the wide receivers that like the 50-50 ball, right? We know his history with tight ends. Do you think that Fitzpatrick can have an impact this year throwing a ball to guys like McKissick, Gibson, and even Patterson? Do you see a connection with Fitz and the running backs? That's something I have never really seen out of Fitz over the years.
Yeah, and this would be the first time you ever hear me say this, so you might want to cut this out. In defense of Ryan Fitzpatrick, outside of Gesicki, who Phil just named, name me a tight end he's had that has been viable. I'll wait. Okay. So I don't lay that total burden on him, but I don't see how you don't get somebody like J.D. McKissick involved in the passing game. He's a better catcher of the ball than he is a runner of a football.
Right.
Because he was originally a wide receiver, right?
He was our best slot receiver last year.
Exactly. Exactly. And I mean, legitimately, they had to pass the ball against Pittsburgh for him to get involved in somewhat of a running game when Gibson went down. So that's where his strength is. And I think Scott will develop plays and scheme them up for that purpose.
Right.
But I don't think it's ever really been a question of him like taking advantage of those running backs, which I think it's forcing. It's forcing plays that aren't there. That's with with Fitzpatrick. So I think he will find what's given to him. Hopefully, dear God, I hope so. If not, we're screwed. But he's gonna find what's given to him. So I think I can see him utilizing two former wide receivers and then a do everything back in Patterson to end the pass game. I just don't see how you don't do that.
Right, right.
Especially because if you paid attention in training camp and in the preseason, there was a lot of splitting what running backs wide. And I'm talking about they would have two backs in the game, one splits wide, one stays in the backfield. And it wasn't the same guy every time. And I think Scott Turner knows that he's got all these do-it-all type weapons that he can play with. And I think you're going to see a lot of that because you don't show much in the preseason.
Right.
But we showed that, which means that there's a lot more where that comes from.
Absolutely. I mean, that's all facts. And I look, I'm excited for that running back group because you have three guys who can do multiple things. You don't know if it's going to be a running play or a passing play when these three guys come in. These are three guys that are going to be expected to catch the ball this year. So I'm excited for that because when we saw Peyton Barber, we threw the ball to him every now and again, but it's like everybody was like, nah, come on, man. We know he's not here to catch the ball. So when you have just like when we had Jeremy Sprinkle, that's one of Corey's favorite guys. When you saw him, you knew that it was going to be a running play. Right, Corey? But when you have the tight ends that we have now, I mean, obviously you're going to see Bates in that passing game, even though he's a good blocker. Simmons Reyes, they say that, hey, he's one of the most physical blockers on the team. And I love that he made the team. But guess what? He's going to work his way. Just because he's physical, he's probably the most athletic tight end that we have. I mean, former basketball player. He can leap. He's fast. He's strong. So I just love that Ron Rivera preaches position flex and versatility because that's something that we're going to continue to use over and over and over again. So I am excited for that. So when we get into this matchup, what do you think our strengths are? I'm going to start with Phil, then I'm going to go to Corey. What is the strength of this team?
The defense. Actually, I say that like it's so obvious, but I think that our offense is on paper. And obviously, we haven't seen too much of it yet. Mm-hmm. But on paper, our offense has improved significantly. Mm-hmm. Because the young guys are coming up. We brought in some talent. But the defense is really mostly homegrown.
Right.
I think the defense is still ahead of the offense, but not the gap that we saw last year. I think we have an ability to control the clock now.
Yep.
And I think that's going to be our strength because the less our defense is on the field, the better. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's just going to allow them to do what they want to do, command the game. So I think our ability to control the clock has improved significantly, and I think that's going to be our strength, not just in the offense holding the ball, but the defense getting other teams off the field.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's going to be our strength.
Now, follow-up question for you. You say that the running game is going to be our strength. Do you trust Patterson running through the middle? Do you trust him as a guy that can get you a 3rd-and-1 or a 4th-and-1?
I have no reason not to. I haven't seen anything that makes me say he can't.
I respect it.
I mean, he is the reason why Peyton Barber is no longer on this team.
Yep. Facts. And I see him as a backup not only to J.D. McKissic, but also to Antonio Gibson. And I was listening to the podcast, the Bleeding Burgundy podcast, I believe that's the name, with Jalen. Is it right, Corey?
Yep, yes,
Jalen. I know you guys know each other from camp. Yeah.
Yep.
So he was talking to Patterson, and Patterson was talking about how his game mirrors a Ray Rice or even a Maurice Jones-Drew. And that's something that I've always said. And for him to say it with his own mouth, that was like, you know what? Wow. Because when you have a unique blend of, you know, speed and size, yeah, he's short, but he's also strong. So, Corey, what are the strengths of this team or the main strength of this team that we need to, you know, really focus on come Sunday?
I think main
– outside of defense, because defense is an easy answer.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm going to give you one, and it's way out in left field. I think our return game.
Okay.
Is a strength with DeAndre. Hey, there you go. I'm saying with the fact that you bring in somebody like DeAndre Carter, where, you know, I think he doesn't clean up that. If he cleans up his fumbling act, Ron and then kept seven wide receivers and pretty mm-hmm. much kept an exclusive returner on there. And, you know, I saw at training camp the fact that this guy, anytime Dax, he struggled on the gun. Steve Sims struggled on the gun when they were fielding punts. DeAndre Carter, boom, boom, boom. They just came to him. So if you got somebody that's not going to put you in a hole but gives your offense good starting position, yeah. especially with your quarterback like Ryan Fitzpatrick, who's still learning this system. Let's not, you know, he might have seen everything in their mama twice, but this is still a new system at the end of the day that gives him an opportunity to learn this. Mm-hmm. And then even kind of echoing what you guys said, I think the running backs are, but the wide receivers are an underrated strength. I think that your top mm-hmm. three guys outside of the future Paul Richardson, I think these guys will be able to do some things. I saw that look, Phil. Yeah. Hey, man, Curtis Samuel's majoring in money stealing studies from Paul Richardson University over there.
Easy now. Oh, no. We haven't had one game yet. Go easy now.
I'm like Doc Walker. I don't care about who's not on the field. I care about who's on the field. He's not on the field. So,
but you know what? You know what's nice is that we have depth. We have depth. Because De'Ami Brown could step right into that spot and do a lot of things, especially because Curtis Samuel was going to play out wide. Mm-hmm. Adam Humphries is a slot receiver. So all you do is replacing Curtis Samuel with De'Ami Brown.
Yep.
Really, I mean, if you want to stretch that field, that's your guy. Mm-hmm. And that's going to open up Terry on coming across the middle at 12, 15 yards every time.
Well,
right. Yeah, so with Curtis Samuel coming here, there's been a lot of fans, a lot of chatter saying, oh, this is he's a bust. How can a free agent signing be a bust? But, you know, I've been hearing, oh, he's a bust. He's a wasted, you know, fans, man. We just want instant gratification. We want instant success. So with Curtis Samuel, my take is let that man sit. Let him sit until he's 100% ready, because with an injury like that, I think it's hamstring or lower leg.
Groin, yeah.
Yeah, groin. Yeah, oh, yeah. Those take a while. You know, those take a while. And I'm okay with him missing 3 weeks to be fully healthy. And then come in when you're fully healthy, and then we go ahead and then we attack this thing.
You give me 14 solid games, I'm happy.
Right. Exactly. So, Corey, are you worried about Curtis Samuel, or you just say, hey, we got enough depth, or – you're like, hey, he's going to be fine. Like, what is your take on Curtis Samuel as of today?
How much you pay the man? How much you pay? Was he's your top? He was your top offensive free agent, pretty much.
Yeah.
Come on now. Yeah. Because of the money, the value of him. Like, I get that he's got some injuries. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I want to be healthy. But this is, you're off to a bad start already. You weren't in OTAs, right?
Right.
You weren't in any of training camp. We didn't even see Curtis Samuel.
Right.
And now we're talking about, and Ron was talking about, well, if this is the start of the season, he would be able to go. And bull crap. Don't spit in the macaroni and call it cheese, y'all. That's exactly what he was trying to sell us. I mean, come on now. Like I said, I maybe sound a little harsh on him. And I said this, I said this 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. that I felt very Paul Richardson vibes. Now I've seen it left and right. Kind of like what I said with I was talking about Aaron Rodgers a week before people started saying he needs to come to Washington. I'm like, now here I am with Paul Richardson. I'm like,
right.
And Curtis Samuel. So I want him to succeed. I hope I'm wrong. But I mean, y'all, we are not off to a good start with this. And what's the last like wide receiver not named Pierre Garçon that we've brought in here that has made a significant impact?
Right.
On this team.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even before Pierre.
Mm-hmm. Well, man, before Pierre. Ooh.
Come on, man.
Jackson.
DeSean Jackson, maybe Santana Moss.
Well, no, Santana Moss was a trade, Manny.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They traded Lavernius Coles back to the Jets for them.
But so I would say Lavernius Coles. Yeah. I mean, Lavernius Coles was a free agent, right?
Yep.
So, hey, that's a long time ago. That's so long ago that I can't even remember, to be honest. Like, you know, with wide receivers, we started out as a team that couldn't draft them, right? We couldn't draft them. Then a team that can't sign them, you know? And I think that Curtis Samuel is going to be okay. It's a little scary right now because you don't know what's to come. You know what I'm saying? You don't know what's to come. But I think he's going to be fine. My whole thing is just let him get fully healthy. Now, we talked about the strengths of the football team and what we need to do to, you know, win the game come Sunday. But we do have some weaknesses. We do have some gaping holes. Okay. For me, one of the weaknesses that if I had to pick one, I would say the left tackle position. I would say that's maybe the position that worries me just a little bit. If you're looking at the full line, right? The right side looks solid. Okay. We don't know what Jay Leno is. We don't know. So I have Phil, who's the offensive line guy here. Probably a horrible take, but I want to have you talk about that.
Put some respect on Charles Leno's name, first of all.
Educate me, man.
Charles Leno.
I know who he is, but educate me.
Yeah, I know, but you call him Jay. Charles Leno is actually a solid starter in this league. Is he a Pro Bowl player year in, year out? No. Mm-hmm. Is he a guy who is an upgrade over Cornelius Lucas? Yes, I would say that. And Cornelius Lucas played pretty well for us last year, all things considered. Mm-hmm. And yet I do believe that Charles Leno is an upgrade over him. Such an upgrade that he actually took that left tackle spot. I thought that was going to go to Cosme. Mm-hmm. And then they moved Cosme to the right side.
Right.
Who unseated Morgan Moses, who's been there forever.
Yep.
I love Cosme, by the way. Watching him play is as an offensive line guy, I love watching that dude play because he's super athletic and he's got a mean streak. And I like that. Charles Leno is solid. He's got a bit of a mean streak when he plays too. You know, he's not a real finesse guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's a strong dude who will manhandle you, and he's smart because he's a veteran. Right. He's got all those little veteran tricks. You know, is he – I can't compare him to the great left tackles we've had because that's one thing about this franchise too that we've done really well. Mm-hmm. We've had a series of great left tackles. You can go all the way back to Joe Jacoby. They got Jim Lachey. Yeah, yeah. Then you had Chris Samuels. Then you had Trent Williams. I've just covered four decades. So let's temper expectations just a little bit. If you're expecting that level of play, not going to get that. If you take it down one notch, and only one, you get a Charles Leno. And I think that's fine. I think that's fine. He's more than good enough to do well for us.
Hey, well, that's solid. I mean, I didn't think that on the outside Cornelius Lucas and Leno are about the same. That's what I'm thinking. But if you're telling me that it's a major upgrade, hey, okay, I can relax a little bit. I can relax a little bit. I can breathe fine. I can, you know, inhale, exhale. Corey, talk to me about, first of all, my take. You know, might have been a crazy take. The reason why I'm not worried about the right side, you have Sheriff there to help Cosme, and Cosme has super exceeded my expectations already. You know, Cosme was supposed to, you know, start at the left tackle position, but I felt like, you know what, it's good to ease him on in. Corey, talk to me, man. I know that Charles Leno is your cousin. I apologize for what I said.
Dev, you know? What up?
Dev, what's good, man? Appreciate you hopping on the stream. Talk to us, Corey.
There's no maybe to that. That is absolutely the craziest thing I have ever heard you say. Okay. I think that is deplorable. The fact that this man hasn't missed a game in what, like 6 years? He constantly shows up. Cornelius Lucas was backing him up mm-hmm. in Chicago, right? Mm-hmm. Charles Leno is going to be fine, and kind of echoing what Phil said, this guy, he's not the best, he's not the worst, mm-hmm. he's good enough to get you to where you need to go. That's why I'm not. And then you've got Eric Flowers on there who got paid because of how he played at left guard, and you bring him back. I'm more worried about the right side, because one thing, and you bring up Brandon Sheriff, mm-hmm. old FedEx truck. Why do I call him FedEx truck? Because he backs up to the factory like he backed up to that All-Pro award. The only reason why he got that All-Pro award is the fact that he was the only playoff player really worth a darn in mm-hmm. getting an award. Zach Martin outplayed him, was outgraded higher than him, but he was playing at different spots, right? Mm-hmm. So that worries me. Is when he's not there, when he gets hurt, it's no if, it's when mm-hmm. he gets hurt. Who's Cosby going to rely on?
Schweitzer. Eric Flowers.
Right. Eric Flowers will slide to the left.
Mm-hmm. And Wes Schweitzer, who's another dude I really like,
yep.
will slide in on the right, on the left mm-hmm. guard. And right. I'm sorry, Flowers will slide to the right.
Okay. Right. Flowers to the right. Okay.
Right. And that's why mm-hmm. I guess what I'm asking, well, really what I'm saying mm-hmm. is if we feel that Lucas and Leno are more than enough, hey, I'm all in. For some reason, I'm just not worried about that right side. I know, you know, it's young. And then not only that, who's backing up Cosme? That's another question. Is it
Lucas is a swing tackle. He can play
okay,
both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, hey. Like I said, I don't know much about.
But they got Sadiq Charles backing them up on the depth chart.
And Sadiq, I don't know. I don't know about Sadiq playing tackle.
Sadiq too.
Yeah, as a guard, cool. I'll rock with you. As a tackle, I don't know. But if what you guys are telling me is true, then guess what, man? I feel good about the whole left side. I feel good about the whole situation. I think we have a very good offensive line as a whole, as a unit. But I still feel that, hey, if they say, hey, we need to attack this offensive line in one area, I still think it could be that left side. But, hey, what do I know? I'm just a spectator. I'm going to be watching the games. I'm going to be, like I said, I'm not an offensive line guy. I don't really pay attention to the offensive line, but I will definitely be looking at that this season. So, Corey, what is a weakness that you feel that teams can exploit or even the Chargers can exploit versus the football team come Sunday? Like, any areas of concern, any areas of weakness?
It's the main concern. It's number 14. It's the quarterback. It legitimately is the quarterback. The fact that we have people out here that are saying, like, this guy, he's on his best team yet. He's given us 16 years of turd sandwiches.
Mm-hmm.
He's giving us 16 years of turd sandwiches. And we're sitting here like, oh, he's going to clean up. Oh, he's going to act right after all this time. Like, what are we doing? Like honestly, people are going to sit here, the gung-ho, because there's like 3 degrees of people with Ryan Fitzpatrick's fan base. They're the gung-ho people who are going to turn on him once he throws a pick. It's the middle of the road people who are like, I don't know, but hey, he's my quarterback. And the people that flat out hate him. I like to say I'm in that middle tier because I don't really hate him. I just don't like him, but he's my quarterback. So I'm just like, but I'm going to sit here and when people are like, oh my gosh, why did he make that throw? We've seen it. We've seen it for 16 years. This man started when I was a freshman in high school. I'll be 31 in November. Come on now, kids. That's how long he's been playing. Like, I mean, the man's never been on a winning team, not even as a mm-hmm. backup. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't know how to win.
Correction. The Jets team was a winning team.
He doesn't know how to get to the playoffs because gotcha. He goes to Buffalo and chokes. Okay, sorry. Gotcha. Forgive me for that one, sir. I apologize. But come on, man. The man don't know how to win. Look, for the most part, he knows.
Let me say this. I was the guy who came out on the very first Addicts Pod after we signed Fitzpatrick. And I said, if you want a 38-year-old guy with a beard to play quarterback and throw interceptions, I'll take half his money. But, and look, I can say the same thing. When Fitzpatrick started his first game in the league, my son was about 2 months old. Mm-hmm. He is now going to turn 16 in 8 days. That tells you anything. It also tells you I'm an old head. But the thing I will say about Fitzpatrick is that unlike one-legged Jesus last year, he gives you a chance to – you feel like you're never out of it. Like, yeah, okay. Alex Smith – brought us back from behind only to lose in 2 games. And one of those was his fault.
Mm-hmm.
Brought us back against the Giants and then immediately threw 3 picks, one of them to a receiver, well, McKissick, who was already falling down when he started to throw the ball.
Right.
I never thought that much of Alex Smith. I didn't like the trade. I didn't think he was anything dynamic.
Same.
With Fitzpatrick, you get a lot of that same seasoning and veteran stuff that Alex has, but somebody who is willing to take that risk, and mm-hmm. that risk will hurt at times.
Thank you.
But that risk will also pay off at times.
Mm-hmm.
And we are so conditioned to play it safe. Look, I liked Kirk Cousins, but Kirk Cousins was a high percentage guy for the most part, did not take a lot of risks. He trusted the process. Fitzpatrick will roll out and say, F your process. I could throw this ball 60 yards downfield.
Right.
We haven't had that in a while. And I think mm-hmm. that some fans are going to take a while to get used to that concept mm-hmm. of having that.
Right.
So, somebody's going to just say, I'm just going to air this out because I got my guy down there and I trust my receiver. We haven't had that.
Right.
So we have to kind of recondition our minds to the idea that, you know, that thank you, Beast. But we have to recondition our minds a little bit on that. And I think that what you saw, that stat people throw up of Fitzpatrick's last 16 starts, 4,400 yards, 27 touchdowns, 13 interceptions. If he plays a full season this year, I could see a very similar stat line. And you know what? 13 interceptions is a little bit more than usual mm-hmm. in the modern NFL. I will grant you that. But mm-hmm. when was the last time we had a quarterback throw 27 touchdowns in a season?
Mm.
When was the last time we had a quarterback throw 4,500 yards?
Hey, I hear where you're coming from. But at the end of the day, 27 touchdowns doesn't win you games. You can
throw. Here does the 16 we got in 16 games from Alex Smith.
Where did they end up at, though, last year? They end up in the playoffs, right, with the 16 touchdowns. But they ended up there. That's what I'm saying.
We are legally blind.
In spite of. You did enough to get there.
Well, let's do more and go further.
I get what you're saying, Phil. But you're talking about – you're making Brian Fitzpatrick sound like Brett Favre, though. That's what it is.
He has a similar game. He's not as good, but he has a similar game. And we haven't had that.
I know we haven't had that, but we're sitting here like this is a guy who's going to lead us. Even when his gunslinger mentality, he's going to lead us to the promised land, or he's going to lead us to victories because he takes risks. Throughout his career, he has taken risks. And 7 times out of 10, he falls flat on his face because either he gets outperformed by somebody eating W's, right? How many people has he been benched in favor of?
How many times has it worked out for them when they benched?
It seemed like it was working out this year for Miami, right? What, they were 10-6 last year.
It was working out. He's the reason why they were 10-6. He was the reason why they.
He was a big part of that reason. Tua is trash, dude.
I'm not saying Tua. And Fitzpatrick
actually told Miami, "You probably should play this guy since he's going to be your future." He volunteered to be benched to give the rookie some reps.
I get that. But like I said,
but he's not doing that here. Don't anybody get the idea that he's going to turn to Ron Rivera and Scott Turner and say, "Yeah, put that kid Heinicke in."
Oh, yo, that ain't happening. What kid Heinicke? The man's damn near 30. Come on now.
Yeah, he's not a kid.
Like I said, you got to do a whole lot. You got to wake up early in the morning and sell me on this cat. Like, you just don't change.
Corey, I was starting to learn my multiplication tables when you were born. I'll call you kid.
That's true. But no, but do you see where my concern is? Like,
absolutely.
I don't have a problem with watching a quarterback go out there and gunsling it and put up 400 yards a ball game, which I don't think we need. I think we just need folks on running the ball, especially with these two tight end sets, right? But nothing that Ryan has done over his career has proven to me that this guy, no matter how risky and everything he does, he may look sexy at times, but there's no bottom line. He's a toothless hooker. That's exactly what he is.
Okay, Corey.
Sorry.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
Sorry.
Hey.
You too, please.
Coming in feels kind of good.
Yeah. I'm just saying. This is like, you know, hey, oh, she looks good. Oh, wait a minute now. Wait a minute. She dentures popped out. No value.
Well, sorry, here's my whole take. Here's my whole take. My whole take with Fitzpatrick is, Fitzpatrick is better than what we had last year. Nobody is bringing in Fitzpatrick here to be a superhero. And if you're depending on Fitzpatrick to be your knight in shining armor, that's not who he is. If you're looking for Fitzpatrick to be Aaron Rodgers, that's not who he is. But what he will give you is hope. I'm not saying that hope wins you games or loses you games. You're looking at me crazy. You look at the game last year. Look at games last year. When we're losing, what does Alex Smith do? Historically, thank you. So for me, all I need is just a little bit of hope. We need enough. Just like you say, Leno is enough. Fitzpatrick is enough compared to what we had last year. Based off of who was available, based off of how much money we had, he is enough. We don't need him to come here and carry the team. We just need him to make enough plays. And you're going to see it this year with Terry. You're going to see it this year with De'Ami Brown. He gives you another element. You know, if he can limit those turnovers, guess what? Okay, I put it like this. Last year, if Alex Smith played in that game versus the Bucs, we don't win. We don't even have a chance. Like, it wouldn't even have been close. Thank God that Taylor Heinicke came in and showed us what competent quarterback play looks like. If you replace Heinicke with Fitz, even in that game, he still gives you a chance to win. All I'm saying is we have improved by a major margin from what we had last year to Fitz. That's my take on the quarterback position.
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, look, I don't think, and me says it, with our defense, we need average quarterback play. We had the worst quarterback play in the league last year. The worst. And we won a division that was terrible despite that. This year, you don't want to back your way into an NFC East title. You want to win it. You want double-digit wins. That should be the goal. And that's actually with Fitzpatrick. Even though I was all in on Matt Stafford when we were pursuing him. I said, get Matt Stafford. Mm-hmm. Because Heinicke shows you that a guy who can push the ball down the field makes this offense do a lot more. It makes this offense go. But Heinicke isn't the answer. I don't think he is. No. But Fitzpatrick is the temporary answer until we find that guy who will push the ball downfield. And I will take Fitzpatrick as a stopgap. I mean, that's what he's done most of his later half of his career, is be a stopgap till the future arrives, whoever that future is going to be. And I think that he plays that position well, both as a stopgap and as a quarterback. Right. That will give us a chance to have a 10-win season. And that's actually what I've been predicting. 10-7, NFC East division title, and we'll see ourselves in divisional round. Nothing's changed my opinion.
I'm with you, Phil. You know, hopefully I'm pretty sure Corey will be back on the show at some point. And, you know, we always go back and forth and, you know, kind of talk about what we said on previous shows or different shows. We might end up on somebody else's show and then, you know, things might change. But like I said, I think Fitz gives us enough. And look, until we find better, until we find that young guy, this is just what it's going to be. And I'm really intrigued to see if we trade up in the draft next year. Do we go all in on Aaron Rodgers, which is my – I mean, that's who I want, regardless of the price. Like, if you bring in Aaron Rodgers here without trading any draft capital, you're talking about a Super Bowl contender. I don't care if he's 95 years old. I don't care how old Aaron Rodgers is. Aaron Rodgers is that's a whole nother level of quarterback play that I have never seen in my fandom of being a Washington fan since 1999. So I haven't seen Aaron Rodgers level play. You know, I've seen Kirk Cousins. I've seen Brad Johnson, two quarterback, RG3 for one season. Mm-hmm. So for me, being a fan that hasn't seen quarterbacks, if I see something that looks okay, like, you know, how you say decent until, you know, the dentures, blah, blah, blah. Look, I'm going to rock with what I have now until I get something better. So we'll see what happens. I mean, it's going to be times when he throws the ball and we all are closing our eyes. We all are like, oh, please. Or it's going to be times when he throws the ball and it's almost intercepted and we're like, whoa. But then there's going to be times when if we're losing, he can make those throws or he can make – or Terry beat somebody down the field and he doesn't miss – the wide open guy like Case Keenum used to do. You know what I'm saying? So let's see what happens Sunday. But moving on to the next topic.
He's terrible in the red zone too, just to let y'all know. He's terrible and he hasn't started a complete season in, what, 6 years? Terrible in the red zone. Just okay. You know.
Do you think that the team did anything to help the red zone situation this year?
Yes.
Like, you've got your tight ends there.
Tight ends? Wide receiver play has improved?
Okay.
I would love to see, you know, some red zone packages. We take advantage of somebody like Cam Sims' height.
Because mm-hmm.
one thing Cam Sims can do is high point a ball.
Exactly.
And he's 6'5", and he can find a high point on a pass. I would love to see that taken advantage of more. I mean, we didn't have quarterbacks who could really do it last year. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, you have some big guys, big targets, not just a receiver with Cam Sims. But you've also got, you know, your John Bates. You got Logan Thomas. Hell, if Samus Reyes can turn into something, you know, you're at the 10-yard line. Dump him down the middle to him at the 3 and let him barrel over somebody because that's his running style. He's the most – for somebody as athletic as he is, he has zero grace.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm fine with that because dudes with grace tend to not initiate contact well. Mm-hmm. So I think we have red zone targets, and I think that that's going to give us and give Fitz a chance to be better than he's been.
Yeah. And, go ahead, Corey.
I promise you, I'll drop it. Back when people were bamming about Alex Smith back in 2018, about he doesn't push the ball downfield, but they were still winning. Like, we were, what, 4-2 or something? And people were complaining about him not pushing the ball downfield. They're winning. I don't care. If Fitz is throwing two picks and they win and throws one touchdown and we win, you won't hear anything out of me. You won't hear anything out of me. That I just want people to be clear on that. Like, while I am not in full agreement with this, but if he goes out here – and the bottom product is they win, I'm good. I don't care. I don't care about the logistics. I just care about the final score at the end of the day. I don't care how we got there. It can be bumpy. It can be ugly. Just win.
All right. So I'm back on Corey's side now. You know, as long as he said that, I'm good. You know, because at the end of the day, we all just want to win. We're tired of being losers. You know, like, losing sucks. Like, losing makes us go crazy. Like, I don't think you guys follow me on Twitter during, like, the Sundays. Look, I will turn a game off. I go off on the team. I come back. I turn it off. I just watch Red Zone. And being out here in Nashville, I have to do some special things, which I can't say on air, to watch the games.
I got to talk to you about that too. I need a fix.
I got you. Yeah. I got you, brother. Okay. I got you. So you know, man, look, I'm just hoping for a successful season, and let's just hope that the defense holds up. Let's just hope that the defense is really a top 3 to top 5 defense like we hope and think that it can be. Let's hope, you know, that we don't see injuries. Now, come Sunday, right? There's some matchups. There's some special matchups that everybody's talking about. And one is, I think it's Rashawn Slayton versus Chase Young. There's always that, you know, and then there's the also the Chase Young versus Herbert narrative. Oh, we should have drafted Herbert. Look, nobody was talking about Herbert until what? Tyrod got poked in the ribs by the doctor. Nobody was saying anything about Herbert. Chargers were happy to have a Herbert to see what they have in him. It was two of this, two of that.
I was a Herbert guy, but I did not think we should take him over Chase then, and I don't think it now. Yeah. But I did think Herbert was the second best quarterback in that class.
Who was the first?
Burrow.
Okay. Yeah. Burrow's like always like the forgotten one because we had no access to him. You know, there was no way possible that, you know, Cincinnati would have traded down.
Here's the thing that's going to disappoint Chargers fans who think, oh, we got Rashawn Slater. He's going to dominate Chase Young. I heard, by the way, tune in tomorrow. We're going to be with the guys from the Charger Chat podcast who I listened to them say that Rashawn Slater is going to hold Chase Young to zero sacks. Here's the thing that's going to disappoint a lot of these guys. First of all, Rashawn Slater's left tackle. Chase Young usually lines up over right tackle. So I don't know what you're thinking there, but Rashawn Slater's got to hold back Montez Sweat,
come on,
who had more sacks than Chase Young last year.
Come on.
Let me tell you something, and it doesn't matter. Rashawn Slater's going to be facing guys all day, whether it's Chase or Montez, who can rush the passer.
Absolutely.
These are both elite-level defensive ends, edge rushers. And this kid has to go out here in his first game and has to be that good that he's going to, you know, put up a zero burger?
No.
And your right tackle better be ready because he's going to be seeing a lot of Chase Young coming at him in many different ways. So they're going to have to throw in all their double and triple teams to get make it happen.
And so here's the beauty of the whole thing. Teams can guard us when it's four versus five, right? When we send four, just four versus five, they still can't guard us because you got to double team somebody, right? What happens when once we run that 5-2, whatever? What happens when we have five people on the line and we're going one-on-one? What does their offensive line look like? You see what I'm saying?
Ioannidis is forklifting your guard right back into Herbert's face.
And then
Which opens it up.
Yeah, and y'all know Bulaga, they've had some injury issues with him on that right side.
That's where it's Bulaga.
So, you know, it's kind of comical that these people are making this thing. And you think Chase Young has heard this all season. One, he had to live with him not performing well in that playoff game, right?
Right.
Then
right.
People are playing this Rashawn Slater. Then you have people, great media experts that come on at 6 to 9 on certain radio stations. A bald guy who loves to gamble talks about he needs to be there on OTAs and he needs to be there for voluntary OTAs. Blah blah blah. Leader.
He didn't say that. He said that would have been a better look if he did.
No, he said he needed a better. He told me straight up, you don't think he should have been there? I said, no, because somebody, I said, nobody on this team commanded a triple team. Let that boy do what he's got to do. He was here for mandatories.
Right.
It don't matter. It's voluntary. And
I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying, because I listened to that same guy's podcast, and he was one saying that.
Yeah, I listened to him live on his show when he said what he said. So he had time to think about what he said on there. But he pretty much cussed me out that day. But it was pretty fun. He's heard all of this.
Oh yeah.
It's time for him to tee off. And if he does what he did to Isaiah Wynn, good God Almighty.
Right.
Come on now. And he's had development in a NFL off defense for a year and had an off season while you have your defense where you have Brandon Staley, who's a rookie head coach and is pretty much scared of throwing his players out there because he doesn't want to get his toys dirty and hurt. That is fear, boys. That is not smart. They did not Tom Brady, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson all went out and played significant time in the preseason. What the heck is different than Brandon Staley? Those guys were MVPs. Stay with me now, and I might bless you here in a minute. But, like, they, Brandon Staley, like, they, and people are like, well, you know, you don't want them to get hurt. That's what the preseason is, man.
Right.
That are, it's two things. It's fear or it's lack of depth. Guess mm-hmm. what? It's both.
Mm.
It is both with them. And they're going to be in Washington. Got a little bit. Chase Young played significant time in the preseason, boys. Right? Mm-hmm. Come on now.
He's not above it.
He's not above it. He didn't get a. Ain't going to be no rust on there.
Well.
Come on now. Rust bucket. Yeah. Rust bucket, man. Brandon Staley is scared. Go play this for him, Phil. He's scared. That's exactly right. What it is.
I'm not disagreeing with any of this.
New offensive system. Where does that make sense at?
Right.
Joe Lombardi, who got fired in Detroit 3 games after he helped them to a playoff appearance mm-hmm. in the following season. So we think Joe Lombardi is going to be the next Sean Payton. He's going to sit here and he's like, they're going to click just like that. In the, who in the ham sandwich is Justin Herbert?
Justin Herbert's going to be a good, very good quarterback in this league. I'm not.
I think so.
But you're right that this was they are setting themselves up for a disaster by not doing this. Now here's the thing: if they come out and put up 45 on us, we all look. You know, we're all could be like, okay, you knew more than we did, but. Let's be real. When has that ever worked to be so overprotective of your players? It's never worked in this league. You see in the playoffs. Team wins their division. They get to skip the wild card. They get a bye. And they look flat when they come out because they sat out the last game of the season. They sat out the divisional or the wild card round.
Come on now.
And then they come out in a divisional round and look flat. And then you have the, you know, it makes for great ball games in that round. But this is the first week of the season. You've had 3 weeks to attempt to play games. You haven't done anything.
Yeah. Right.
You haven't come out and taken like a first two drives of a game and then walked off. No. I'm telling you, I am with you on this one, Corey.
Yeah.
They are setting themselves up for something really bad.
Yeah.
Now, we need to take advantage of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Our defense needs to come out and play at double speed for the first half of that game. Just
play fast.
Play really fast. And don't be surprised if Del Rio doesn't start dialing up blitz after blitz after blitz and get real exotic on these guys because – they haven't played game speed against an opposing defense all offseason.
Preach. And Phil, hold that thought. So usually when teams blitz, right, what do you do to nullify the blitz? You throw a screen pass, right?
Yeah.
Austin Eckler did not practice today. Austin Eckler might not play on Sunday, and he is their second most important skill position player outside of Keenan Allen. He is their RB1. He is their wide receiver too. I don't trust Mike Williams. I do like that Josh Palmer kid. Jordan Palmer.
Yeah. And Guyton. You got Darius Guyton too. Don't forget about him.
Yeah. Guyton. Mm-hmm. I mean, they got some pieces, but I feel like what they do surrounding Austin Eckler, that's a major, major piece to what they do. So no Austin Eckler. I mean, you got Larry Roundtree and Josh, whatever his name, Justin Jackson. I don't even know these running backs. You know, they're just a whole bunch of guys that don't scare me. But that receiving, you know, even Jared Cook is a pretty good tight end. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to receiving the ball, even though he's old. So there are some matchups that I'm looking at. And I'm like, you know what? If we can do this, then we can do that. And if Austin Eckler doesn't play, then we don't have to worry about the screen game as much. We don't have to worry about Austin Eckler. He's like that souped up J.D. McKissick. He can do a lot of different things, including running the ball. So if Austin Eckler doesn't play, Do you guys think we have more of a chance? Like, what is the game plan? Because these guys haven't played, like you guys have said. I mean, look, they sat out all preseason. They said, hey, we're going to bubble wrap our guys. And, you know, sometimes it's good to do. But sometimes when you do that, it takes you a while to get going. I was on the DMV Sports Zone's live stream, and I told him, Justin Herbert is a good player. But come Sunday, we're coming after that boy. We're coming after that boy, and it can get ugly. It can get ugly for Chargers fans come Sunday. So what are your keys to the game, Phil?
Keys to the game is you come out with the intention. You spend that entire first half, especially first quarter, and think of it like a boxing match. Don't come out to try to feel them out. You come out looking like Hagler and Hearns. You make it a war right from the start, and you just start bombing on people. I know, Corey, I just threw a reference out that's way too old for you. But you just come out. You come out swinging. You say to hell with playing cautious. Pin your ears back, and you on defense, you're chasing the ball. Whether they run it, whether their quarterback's dropping back, whatever, you're going after guys on offense. You know what? Pound them with that run game and then play action away. Let's do it. I want to see us play with aggression in the play calling, in the physicality, everything. You need to be fast and aggressive with everything, you know, because this team's not used to playing game speed against people who will actually hit you.
Right.
And then you know what? Lay into those hits a little bit. Put a little into it. Remind them that this is a physical game. They've had an entire offseason to forget that, a training camp to forget that. This is a physical game. We are a team that is built with speed. Use it.
Right. I love it.
Both sides of the ball.
Yep.
I love it. Corey?
So I'll give you a couple of things I found on Justin Herbert. 1-7 when he throws an interception last year, right? 3-0 when he sacked one time. He was sacked in every game last year. He's 3-0 if you only get one sack on him. That number jumps to 3-9 when he sacked two or more times. He was 0-3 at 1 p.m. starts last year. They were 1-4. And on the East Coast, but they played that week one against Cincinnati, and Punctured Lung Taylor was the starting quarterback. And the last time they've actually won at 1 p.m. East Coast time is when the father of fertility was their quarterback in Phillip Rivers. So what I'm saying is that those aren't trends. Those are habits, right? Okay. That's a habit right there. So get after it, force turnovers and get in his face. You really need a game like you had in week one last year. And it's getting fast, like Phil said, and being physical. Also, it's going to be ball control on the offense. I don't want to see Fitz throwing 25 times.
Okay.
Run that rock, pound that rock, whether everybody gets a cut of, whether it's Gibson, whether it's Patterson, whether you got to let McKissick run a little bit, pound that rock. That's what you and eat up time of possession. Don't give them an opportunity to think that they're in this game. And if you give them an opportunity, take it right away from them. Out muscle them there, because they aren't conditioned to go out and battle you. And you look at it, they're only like really their real test was the 49ers when they did walkthroughs with them. For a couple of days, they did joint practices. So people said, well, they did that, so they really got some hitting. No, stop that. That's bull crap. Stoner from Ref the District was on my channel. He said that. I'm like, I don't know about that, man. It's a glorified practice still. So it's not – there's no physical.
It's under control conditions.
Exactly.
They see, I'm a little different on you this though, because I want us to get up on these guys 14-0 real quick.
I hear you.
Yep. That's why I said come out hard and fast, and then you can ball control the rest of the game.
That's fine with me.
Come out. I want to come out blazing. Because first of all, we need to put people on notice this offense is better than it was last year. So you come out, get two scores right off the bat. Boom, boom. And then you know what? Mm-hmm. Then you say, all right, Gibson, you think you're going to be one of the best backs in the league?
Show us.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jared Patterson, Barry Sanders is excited to watch you play. Go for it.
Right.
Show us you can do it. Up, T-Ho?
T-Ho.
T-Ho in the building, man. What's good? More Redskins in the building. Meast, what's good, man? Appreciate all of you guys joining in and chatting and, communicating with us, man. We love it. So my keys to the game, obviously, I want points. We know what defense can potentially bring. I want to see points. If we can get up to 24 points come Sunday, I like our chances. 24 points, I think, does it. It almost secures the victory. Like you said, Phil, I mean, I want to see us come out there and score in that first quarter. I think that's going to be key. Can the football team score a touchdown in the first quarter? That's going to set the tempo. We don't want to be playing from behind like last year. Oh, my gosh. It was like every halftime we're losing. Every single halftime we're losing, and we have that magical second half. We come back. That was stressful. That was stressful for me because I turned the game off every single time. I mean, just being honest, I hate losing. We all hate losing. But I think keys to the game for me, the biggest key is points. We got to get some points on the board. We got to be knocking down our field goals. And we got to, like, attempt more touchdowns or, try to score more touchdowns than we do field goals. Like, sometimes, man, we get into that red zone and Corey says, hey, Fitz is terrible in that red zone. And I hope that he steps up come Sunday because, look.
The Corey didn't say that. The number said that. That's all okay. I'm saying. Corey did not say that.
I mean, Corey was the delivery guy.
There you go. It's all facts.
But one thing that I do like about Fitzpatrick is that he throws that 50-50 ball, and he loves big receivers. I've seen what he's done to a guy like Devontae Parker. What did he do last year, like when Tua took over? Like, who was Devontae Parker before meeting Fitz? So there's hope there that maybe he can help elevate some of our wide receivers. Maybe Cam Sims has his best season as a pro. I mean, Dayami Brown, I'm excited about him. Adam Humphries, there's supposed to be that connection, right, that we didn't see in the preseason. Hopefully that connection gets going in the regular season. But, like, if we're able to move that ball, control the clock, I think Humphries is going to be a huge key to that. McKissick, all these short intermediate throws, Logan Thomas, it's going to take a collective effort. I'm not more so worried about the stats or what the score is going to say. I just want points, and I think the 24 points does it. Phil, what is your prediction, your score prediction for this game?
28-17 WFT gets their first win of the season. 28-17.
I love it. Corey?
24-10. The team with the most points wins.
I love it. Hey, 24 is my number. 24 is my number. I hope we get 24. I'll probably say 24-21. I think it'll be a closer game. I'm hoping it's 24-10 so I can relax and have a good Sunday, have a good Monday, have a good victory Monday. I predict the Washington football team to win as well. For the Chargers fans that are going to be watching the replay, I don't know if there's any of you guys in the chat right now, but they are watching. One thing about Chargers fans are that they are loyal. I put up a video about week 1 and week 2. Like months ago, and the Chargers fans have been in the comments. They've been in the comment section, so I already know once this is dropped tomorrow morning, they're going to be in the comment section. So, Chargers, you guys are going to eat this L. Washington football team starts off the year 1-0, and I predict 5 or more sacks on Justin Herbert come Sunday.
Woo! Good night. Yes.
Look. I'd have a much closer score prediction because I do respect this Chargers team.
No, it's not one of those teams
I just straight up disrespect.
No, they're a really good team.
I respect the squad, but because they didn't play any snaps in the preseason at all, mm-hmm. I can't buy into you coming out week 1 and not being flat and a little disorganized against a team that has a lot to prove. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not setting up well for the Chargers this week. Now, you know what? Good luck to you the rest of the season, but you're holding the sale.
Exactly. Hey, don't get me wrong. That defense, that Chargers defense does scare me. They Derwin James and Bosa, they got some guys. They got some guys on that defense. They got some guys on offense. But the thing is, they haven't played. We don't even know. Like, do y'all even remember how to play football? So we're going to find that out. Find that out on the next James, episode of Dragon Ball Z.
I mean, they still fighting. Freezing Goku still fighting because of. But I still honestly think I think Goku didn't hit Super Saiyan because the last time Derwin James actually played in a football game, the guy hasn't played in almost what 2 years.
That was a guy that a lot of us wanted in the draft. I know I wanted him over Payne. And hey, I'm glad how everything turned out.
How's that doing? Right.
Look, that's why we are fans. You know, and that's why they do the heavy lifting. So yeah, man, I am excited for this game. Phil, tell the people where they can find you on social media, brother.
All right, you can find me at that name right there, Philio83. You know, always having a good conversation when I'm not embroiled in some random beef someone on Twitter has with me. And you can find my podcast. I shouldn't say it's my podcast. I'm just on it.
It's your podcast.
You can find it, Washington Football Addicts, myself, the captain of the ship, Rod, Steve, Dev, bring it every week. And, you know, we try to have a little bit different flavor in how we do things. If any of y'all have ever watched Dev, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. we had Dev on last week.
Dev's my man. It's funny because he's the only one of the addicts I've met in person, right? We all kind of came from different corners of the fandom to form our Facebook page, 6,000 plus strong.
Love it.
But, yeah. Now, Manny was supposed to come out and hang out with us in Nashville, too, but that didn't happen.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, what happened was, you know, wife, uh-oh, somebody's in the comments. Uh-oh, it's Dev. Dev's been here the whole time. Dev's been here the whole time. So I was supposed to meet up with the guys, but I had to, you know, wife was out of town, so I had to, you know, watch the kids, so had a legitimate, you know.
Excuse. We know we just like to give you hell about it, man.
I know, man. It was like y'all were so close. I know.
Well, many of us are going to be in Nashville at the same time.
I know, man. Look, I was like, man, out of all the weekends, these guys come here when I can't even come out and say hello, man. So, but most definitely, I'm going to try to get to some games. If not this year, definitely next year. Have a newborn on the way come November. So I don't know what football games look like this year in terms of going in person. So,
because Steve and I are going to the Dallas game.
Oh, nice.
In December. Mm. So, look, change some diapers for a month. That newborn's coming in November. Change all the diapers. Do all that. Do whatever you can. Build up that those good graces. And be like,
yep, absolutely.
I'll see you Monday.
Right. You know, I said, hey, I'm gonna go on a day and I'm gonna come back the same day. You know, hey, like ATL, they play ATL, so who knows, man? Maybe I can get out to that one. Corey, let the people know where they can find you on social media.
Ta-da! Right here at the bottom. You can find me on YouTube at On the Warpath. You can find me on Twitter at Sanchez405. I don't really get into beefs because that's what's for dinner every day. No, I just really laugh and I stay petty with a lot of different people. Y'all know I get petty on there.
Hey, including me. Hey, I don't go looking for beef. Beef finds me.
I don't
want
any beef. You're the butcher.
I tell you, the butcher and the blade, right?
That's
here.
Right.
Yeah, I love it. Twitter can be a weird place sometimes, but it can also be a fun place. Yeah, it can also be a fun place.
I love it, man.
Man, so guys, man, it's been a great show. Appreciate you guys coming on. Man, I can't wait for this game come Sunday. Washington football team versus the LA Chargers. Chase Young, Montez Sweat. The secondary is improved. The offensive line improved. Quarterback play hopefully improved. And we're going to find out all these different things come Sunday. Hopefully, you know, we're talking victory Monday come Monday. So, guys, man, appreciate everybody who's in the chat. And I will catch you guys on the next episode. And we are out.